Greetings, this is the automatically deleted husband, and perhaps I have serious things to mention. I did send over the weekend a link to a video exposing China's digital dystopian dictatorship. And because I watched it, and it was kind of amazing because it's 2 years old, and it's for whatever reason, I guess somebody linked to it or whatnot. I don't remember how I got the reference, it should send chills up your spine. I made a comment, in my email. I said there are some points made that should concern you greatly. There are. Anyway. I also, David Tulis, when he writes an article or whatnot, he has a email list that I'm on, and I look at them I at least read the headline and decide if it's an article I'm interested in. If it's mostly about Chattanooga, typically it's really not that important. But he's done some things, such as, for example, he has gone to the Tennessee Supreme Court in order to overturn the decreed mask mandates, and he's gotten some following on that, which. You know, I respect him for that, because how many people are doing that? How many people are saying, no, this is stupid? Well, I am. I have told them, because I no longer participate in the political realm because of that obedience to Christ thing, which, you know, anyway, but I respect what he's doing, and I told him that I stand with him. But then he also had an interview on the radio that I listened to because it was significant. He had a local pastor in studio with him, and the program title was Let's Marry Under Common Law, Not With State Permit, Pastor Says. And it was a more than interesting interview. I actually have gone a little further in the sense that I did comment on his webpage and did have a really brief interaction with him via email. But what I wrote on his webpage, I'll throw it in the email. I wrote that I appreciate Britt Wilson's comments and his desire to strive for obedience to Christ and what he proclaims. May I respectfully suggest he has not gone far enough. I contend that marriage begins with sex and ends with death. It is that simple, and I'm willing to engage with anyone privately or publicly on the issue from Scripture. I've tried for years with PCA churches, but they only offer silence or send the police to silence me. I remain here proclaiming obedience to Christ and have it very easy compared to Paul. And then referencing 2 Corinthians 11. This is where Paul talks about, you know, he's been rejected, whipped, persecuted, and near death, shipwrecked, and all these kind of things. And I suggest the point of that passage is to say, none of us have it that hard. Paul remained fighting the good fight all the days of his life, going through that. We're not going to go through that. So we should have the strength to fight the good fight, because we don't have to fight as hard. And I think that's a very important idea, and I do proclaim that a lot. I am preparing an email to, I indirectly suggested, and after talking with Chris today, I am going to directly engage this pastor. I think it'll be an interesting, hopefully, I hope he will respond, and if he does, I think it will be enlightening. I also engaged, Chris and I have been reviewing 2 Chronicles 14 through 16. This is during the king reign of Asa. And there are some interesting ideas in that, because we talked about the fact that Asa, like Hezekiah, like Gideon, had where they did so well, and in the end they blew it. I think we agree, but you know, obviously it's in the Lord's hands, that yes, they did well, they blew it at the end, but they didn't lose their salvation, their election. And you know, the model we have is the model of Paul, who fought the good fight and finished the course. So that has been, it's been on my mind now for years. I want to make sure that if circumstances become hard, or if circumstances happen where I could get puffed up, I don't fall into that trap. I want to fight a good fight and finish the course, to endure to the end. I think it was an interesting discussion. But the one of the other things that I've been pondering for some time is, you know, I haven't been a doctor in a, I think that I went once about my the issues with my all the skin issues I had. I think the last time was like 2001, two, somewhere in that neighborhood. So about almost 20 years ago. And I simply don't go. And I am probably, like I say, probably the healthiest I've been in my life. You know, my walking apparently continues to get faster. I mean, when I went to, I did 30 miles last week, and it didn't take that long. My jumping jacks have improved radically, and my overall health, my endurance and whatnot is improving, I think because of the exercise and because of diet, the things I eat. I've pondered for some weeks, do I make the commitment to never? You know, there's a difference between, as I've heard it described, patching up a broken bone kind of thing. If you get in an accident, you're starting to bleed and whatnot. Yeah, you can stop the bleeding and whatnot. But to go to the doctor, I have a headache, I have a hangnail, or I have cancer. I think the answer is no. Specifically, 2 Chronicles 16:12, in the 39th year of the reign, his reign, Asa became diseased in his feet. His disease was severe, yet in his disease he did not seek the Lord, but the physicians. And, you know, I read that, and we talked about the context, because it's not clear whether or not he asked the Lord and then went to the physicians, or, you know, there was some flexibility, or is it direct? Don't go to the physicians, seek the Lord. And, you know, we in the past, you know, one of the arguments we talked about is that a good reference for how to live a healthy life is somebody who gets to an old age and is healthy. And the example we obviously used was Jack LaLanne. He got to his 90s, and apparently, even the day before his death, he refused to go to a doctor. I think I'm there. Which, you know, it's a big deal. I'm sorry, I'm getting long. You know, the other thing is, I just heard a little clip, somebody making comments on this guy who's claiming to be president-elect. And his focus was, we're going to impose masks. And I've been talking with people, is this a Romans 14 issue or Daniel 3? And the more I've discussed it, I've brought it up with Rob, I've obviously talked with Chris, the more I look at the scripture, it's a Daniel 3 issue. I will refuse. And that's minor compared to some of the other things. If indeed we have a new president in January, it'll probably be Kamala Harris, not Joe Biden. There's a strong implication, you know, statement about we're going to rejoin the World Health Organization, which is basically funded by Bill Gates. He's a eugenicist, seeks power. So, how's that going to impact my family? There's strengthening NATO. NATO was put together to defend Europe against the Soviet Union. You might have checked the news lately. The Soviet Union ended 30 years ago, almost. And it's still there. Why? And it's become a worldwide organization. Most of the countries we were defending against are part of NATO now, which is interesting. And then, of course, the climate thing. To rejoin the climate initiative, the Paris Climate Accords or whatever, that's going to be a problem for my family. Do you understand why? So, you know, I was pondering trying to be more vocal about this, but I highly recommend, you know, 1 Samuel 8, I've talked about it before many times, because it's the Laos asking for an archon. Laos and Demos are basically like polis and whatnot. They're all talk about the people. So the people asking for anarchy, it's democracy. It's literally democracy. In context, you'll see it's democracy. And if you participate in democracy, verse 18 should scare the living daylights out of you. Then you will cry out in that day because of your king whom you have chosen for yourselves, but the Lord will not answer you in that day. I wish somebody would have pointed that out to me 20-some years ago. I will point it out now. I am concerned for my family. Are they going to bow the knee, kiss the ring? You remember we showed our kids the VeggieTales thing about Rackshack and Benny. And, you know, they didn't bow to, was it Nezzy's? Nezzy was his name, his statue. It's not a comic. It's today. What's going to happen to my family? Are they going to be pragmatic like Jim Cross is? Are they going to trust the Lord? My lady, my family, I love you all.